Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Gonna pop in here for a couple minutes, I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
When we do have guys open, we got to hit them. You can't be over-conservative if you're going to make big plays. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's a fine line for the quarterback as far as his confidence, not wanting to throw an interception, not wanting to hurt the team, but yet taking a little bit of a chance to throw the ball into some of those tight windows.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care. I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is in the Score Studios, and that's where Dave Wonstadt can be found. Our segment with Dave is brought to you by Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Huh. Yeah, Dave's here. Dave's absolutely right here.
Is that Tua that I just heard on the? Who was that on the?
Tua Holmes?
Tua Holmes. Lawrence. Now, just Tua won't perform if it's 40 degrees or colder. Did you leave town because you heard there was a cold front coming in?
I heard there was snow, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave. So today is actually it broke a record, 81 degrees in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to hit the streets. I got a day off tomorrow, Coach.
Good for you.
My cousin just graduated from ASU, and I'm going to have brunch with him tomorrow. And we're going to talk about what he does next in this career. So it's going to be a wonderful time before I come back and watch Bears and Lions on Sunday.
Dave's still here. You got 3 weeks before you're allowed to go to Naples.
Oh yeah, I'm here for. Oh yeah, I'll be here with you guys. Cheers. Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
I got my tie on, Lawrence. I pulled this out for you today. My Christmas tie.
It's a good looking Christmas tie.
It does look good. Before we talk football with you,
of course,
can we talk about the Sammy Sosa thing? Because you were coaching the Bears when a lot of the Sammy Sosa mania was going on. Do you remember any of it? Were you so siloed in what was going on with the Bears that you weren't paying any attention to?
No, I remember Sammy. In fact, when I was coaching the Dolphins then is when he hit his 500th home run. Okay. And I somehow ended up at a Cubs game. And Dusty Baker and I connected to this, so I'm down in the dugout before the game with my wife and daughters, and the players are warming up, and Sammy comes out, and we're sitting there, and we're talking about Miami and South Florida and on, and he brings me out a dozen baseballs that he signed right on the spot for his 500th home run, Sammy Sosa. And so I said, call me when you get to South Florida. If it's during the football season when your baseball's done, I'll be there.
All right. Can I just say how quickly and wonderfully this escalated?
Of course Dave has a Sammy Sosa story.
And it's a story that begins with him in the dugout with Dusty Baker and his family and Sammy hitting 500. Okay. So then he tells you he's going to connect in Miami.
So everybody says that, right? Call me. Here's my number.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Sammy calls up and for like the next two or three home Dolphin games, who's in our suite? God bless Jan, but Sammy comes in with his entourage. And Sammy was in our suite down there at the Dolphins game, big Dolphins fan, with his entourage, and so here we are.
He took you up on it.
So what do you guys need from Sammy? Just let me know. Let me know.
That's so great.
Can we get him on, Coach?
Yeah.
Last week we had Aikman call Sammy for us.
And then I'm at a Pirate game, and I'm down there. When I would go to Pirate games when I was coaching at Pitt, PNC had the prime seats because it was, PNC Park right there. And I knew the president of PNC. And so I would get his seats, and we would sit right behind home plate. And, on the bottom floor there. The fence and everything. And so we were sitting there, and they just happened to be playing. I think Dusty was at Cincinnati then, maybe.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, so, and they were warming up, and Dusty walked by, and he came over to the fence, and we had a nice conversation, you know? Yeah.
So do you ever have you ever had a player on a team that you were a coach on who was a really, really bad teammate? He was like a bad dude.
Yep.
And decades later, you had to decide whether to forgive him or not.
Yes.
And did you forgive him? And why did you forgive him if you did?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ricky Williams was not a bad dude, okay? Ricky just kind of fell off the map a little bit there with the, with the marijuana and stuff. And
some mental health. But he did quit on you guys at the time, right?
A week before training camp is he called me. And I was having lunch with Jan, kind of basically saying, see you in January, our annual end of the summer lunch. And he called me and said, hey, Coach, he was in Hawaii. He was on his way to India. And he says, I'm done. And I couldn't get it stopped fast enough. If I would have known, because in college, if a kid flunks a drug test or anything, they notify the doctors and they notify the head coach. All right, and then you talk to the player. Okay, that's kind of the channel of command. But in the NFL, because of the contracts and the CBA, all that stuff, everything is confidential. And so the coach doesn't know. I didn't know that Ricky had flunked a test. And so now he's going to be suspended, and he just decides to go. So Ricky was 60% of our offense. You know that. You've seen us play. He was my guy. He was the guy. And so now he's gone, and we're scrambling, a week before training camp, and it was a distraction as much as anything.
So you must have been pissed, and you were pissed for a long time?
Yeah, and we never talked, and, our birthdays are the same day. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff. And so long story short, when the Super Bowl was in Miami, I was working for Fox maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 3 or 4. I don't know how many years ago. Last time I was in Miami. Kansas City was down there. And I was doing a Super Bowl event. And I said, who's all going to be there? And they said, well, we got you and we got some other Dolphin players. And I said, good. And I said, who? They said, oh, Jason Taylor will be there. I said, great. So O.J. McDuffie was there. So I show up at this event, and who comes walking in? Ricky. And that's the first time we saw. And then, we kidded each other. And then he's been on the radio show. He was on The Score once, and then I would do some things, see him in L.A. once in a while. I think he came on the show out there one time. So, we all kind of do things that we regret in our lives. And, it's life's too short, man.
Was it hard for you to forgive?
I guess so. Sure. And I'm not going to say it cost me my job. I'm not going to say that. But, without Ricky, when all things failed, give the ball to Ricky. Mm-hmm. Run Ricky up. I used to go to the Bahamas very often when I was coaching the Dolphins. Jan and I would jump plane. They'd fly us over there, and it was big. And as soon as I landed, that's Dolphin country, right? The Bahamas. Now I got to get a Herschel Walker. He's just got assigned.
Oh, that's right. He's the ambassador to the Bahamas.
So now I got to track that one down for sure. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
I'll get that connection going again. But so we would get off the plane in the Bahamas and be walking, and the guys would come up, coach. I said, what do you guys think? What's going on? They says, coach, run Ricky up the middle, man. Run Ricky up the middle, man. And I says, I'm trying. I'm probably going to get fired for running Ricky up the middle, man, too much.
But you seem like a pretty peaceful dude who needed to forgive him just to feel better about stuff.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, that's the first one that came to mind.
It's a good answer and an incredible story. I mean, that's one of the more compelling sports stories and sports figures of his era there with Ricky Williams. But, all right, well, here we are. Lawrence, anything else on Sosa? We could just set him up. I kind of want a Herschel Walker story, too, now, but I mean.
I want more stories about the Bahamas because it's on the list of places that I'm thinking about going in February, and I've never been. So, Coach, should I go to the Bahamas?
I would say go to the Bahamas. Absolutely.
I would say let Coach rekindle his relationship with the ambassador first.
Yeah, I gotta run down. I gotta get that connection seriously with Herschel going for sure. Maybe stay at the embassy. How about that?
Maybe you should be the ambassador to the Bahamas. I like that idea too.
No.
I like that better. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I'm trying to be the ambassador to my hometown, Baldwin, PA, or something. I don't know.
You
know.
And to Bears
Naples. There you go.
Oh, okay. You are the Pied Piper of Naples.
I am. I have been.
Are you thinking about Naples? It's 3 weeks away that you're allowed to go.
No. I got work to do. Why? Why'd you ask?
Well, because DJ Moore was asked about.
My wife is. She's getting on a plane the day after Christmas. And all my kids are getting on a plane the day after Christmas.
Good for them. Are they captains on the Bears or no? Your wife and your kids.
Are they who?
Yeah, DJ Moore is a captain on the Bears. He was asked about this by Mark Grody yesterday.
Follow-up to Kevin's question and the offseason. I mean, it has to be something you guys are already thinking about in terms of get it right. And what kind of ideas do you have when you think about the offseason already and training camp and making it better?
What I'm thinking about? Vacation.
To clear your mind of all this?
There you go. Yeah. Let them do all the work and then, you know, just come back and ready to go.
So the question was, in terms of the off season, getting it right and then coming back in training camp, what do you think? The question was about the team getting it right in the off season.
Yeah, I hear that. And you know what? I'm not going to overreact on that. I really ain't. I mean, if I heard that, you know, finish out the season the best we can and then go on vacation and get ready because here, when you come back, we're going to be ready to go. I would not overreact to that answer. And I know I would like to say now, you know, that God, you know, you need to be in there watching tape and, you know, but I don't know. It's been disappointing and it's disappointing for everybody. And, I don't know what you want them to say, you know. I mean, get ready for the next game, I guess, or, you know, I don't know. What do you want them to say?
Want him to say? I mean, he's a captain, and there was a question before it, so it's not like it came out of nowhere. As Grody said, he's following up on a question before. They're talking about the overall offseason.
He's not going to have any influence on who they hire or how they go about it. So, you know, I mean, you know, they're talking about the offseason, not this week. And I could see how you could interpret that a lot of different ways. I would not personally. That's just my feeling.
All right, well, I did. It bothered the hell out of me that a captain is saying he's thinking about vacation in the off season. Yes, the question is about the off season, but the question is about big picture and getting it right. But I hear you. You're the coach. You think players can get away with that kind of mindset? Even captains? Do they have too many damn captains, Coach?
I was surprised. Yeah, I never had that many caps. I rotated mine, though, every week. You know, I wanted everybody to be kind of have a little part of it. And
have a little responsibility.
Yeah, have a little bit. Everybody have a little bit of skin in the game, as we say, you know, and make sure that everybody's kind of accountable rather than just one or two guys. But there's different ways to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
What did you think of how, not just how Caleb played, but how he looked? And I know that this is putting you in the position of being someone who has to read body language and stuff, but it just feels like it's getting worse, and we're all very concerned about what happens with Caleb.
Yeah, all of us are concerned, but let me just say this. I didn't like that whole thing on the bench. Hey, come on. We're grown men here. There's guys out there fighting to put food on the table to feed their kids. I thought that was a little bit dramatic, to be quite honest with you. You know, if you're hurt, wasn't a trainer. It wasn't like there was four doctors around him and a trainer. He's laying down on a bench or whatever he did. I thought it was kind of halfway comical. I got a laugh out of it, you know? I mean, I thought it was amusing. I really did. No, because I didn't think he was hurt was there a trainer around him or a doctor? No. I looked at it four times. I had it on the news. So now if he was coming off and he's limping to the tent, you know, the the doctor's tent, then it's one thing. But
did you hear him post game talking about? Yeah, I'm bruised.
He's a young kid, you know.
He's talking about getting hydrated. You got to make sure I hydrate during the week, and you know, talking.
Whatever. I mean, yeah, that stuff means nothing to me. You know, it really doesn't. Tell me you got to hydrate. Yeah, hell yeah, you got to hydrate.
Uh huh.
Come on. I mean, let's go. You know, I mean, this is a tough game.
Mm-hmm. So how would you work with him over these last 3 weeks? What would be the things?
I wouldn't work with him. I'd work with protecting him. I probably wouldn't throw. Now I can get a little hard headed with this passing game and all this quarterback stuff, but I might not throw a pass unless we had a fullback and a tight end blocking and helping. I mean, I would get to that point. You know, I mean, I would get that frustrated to say, you know, if we can't protect any better than that, either we're not going to throw it. Guys, we won a game. I don't know. Did I ever tell you the story when we went down and played Houston? Did I ever tell you the story? Now, think about this. I want you to, and I want fans to think about this. We're going to open up the season, 2000-something, whatever, at the Dolphins. And Houston, Jeff Fisher and those guys have never lost in their new stadium. Yeah, I think it was the second year. All right. I mean, and they had Eddie George, Steve McNair, and they had a defense. They had a guy that they called the freak over there,
Kirsch.
And Haynes. They had four pass rushers that were like as good as any group in the NFL. So here's the story. So we get done. We're getting ready to play them. And Chan Gailey's my offensive coordinator, and him and Tony Wise walk in my office and say, can we talk to you? We got something we want to talk to you about the game plan. I said, yeah, what's up? And they said, if we get in third down, we cannot throw the ball. And I said, what do you mean we're not going to throw the ball? And Chan says, we're going to run a screen. We're going to run quarterback draws. We're going to run running back draws. But we can't protect against these guys. So, Coach, we're just going to spread them out, and we're going to run screens and draws. I said, you mean on every third down we are not going to drop back? And they both said, nope, we can't do it. We'll get hit in the mouth. Said, okay, guess what? We get on to Tennessee, and we did not run a drop back pass. We ran about five quarterback draws. We scored on a halfback screen. We ran every screen imaginable. And we won the game.
Jay Fiedler was 12 of 20 for 225.
There you go.
Lamar Smith ran it 25 times, Lawrence, for 55 yards.
Hey, keep running it. Keep running it.
Yeah, but my point is that we weren't going to take negative plays.
Uh-huh.
And the only passes we throw, you know, were screens, bootlegs. How many passes did Lamar have? I bet he had three or four passes.
Lamar, yeah, he had a 65-yard receiving touchdown.
Yeah, on a screen. Uh-huh. You know, but the point was that so to get back to your point, it wouldn't be on Caleb. It's what can we do to give him a chance and give our offense a chance and ultimately give our team a chance to win the game.
Seven catches for Oronde Gadsden. He's got a junior, by the way. Oronde Gadsden.
At Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Well, we were having a big discussion earlier, Coach, about their choice to put Amagaji out there. And I don't know what you saw, but Ant Heron and Patrick Manley kind of tore his technique apart when they were watching him play. And it seemed like a dubious choice by them to make to put Caleb in that situation of having a guy that doesn't have a lot of reps out there protecting his blind side, and probably a guy that should be redshirted this year and not be on the field at all.
I agree 100%. I mean, didn't he miss time in training camp?
Yeah. He had surgery, and he missed all of training camp. He was on IR forever. So as far as padded practices go, he hasn't had a lot of them. And then to send him out there against that defense, it was really questionable strategy.
Yeah, I agree. And his technique, yes, it's because of inexperience in his college competition. You know, he wasn't blocking guys from Georgia, you know, every week. And
you can get away with some of that at Yale.
Yeah,
huh?
And they're playing a shorter schedule, and it's you can get away with some of that at Yale.
It's the old tackle from Pitt right here, Dave Wanstead talking to us.
Yeah, I mean, so I the technique was not going to be right, and you're going against good players. Can't blame the kid, you know. I mean, if he's got to play for you because you got nobody else, then you got to figure out a way to try to protect him or, or turn the protection to him. There's a lot of different things you can do.
We'll talk with Dave about this game against the Lions coming up, and I'll make some NFL picks for you too, Lawrence Holmes.
I like that idea, and we're going to give away some stuff too. So don't go anywhere. If you would like to get your hands on a $200 gift card from our friends over at Four Winds Casino Resort in New Buffalo and South Bend, you better stick around for the next segment. That's next here on The Score.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love that we get the opportunity to talk with Dave, and Dave is all throughout The Score day, does a hit with Mully and Haw, does a hit with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. We got a lot of great football people, including our guys that take care of you on the pre- and post-game show. Before Chicago takes on Detroit, tune in Sunday from 9 until noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
Coach, your thoughts on the Lions coming in here? Probably very, very motivated to try and hold on to that one seed and hold on to the division now. But they have so many injuries on defense.
Yeah, they do. They do. They are beat up, and now, you know, with David Montgomery out on offense, I mean, they're banged up there. And you know, I'd like to say that I really like the Bears in this one. I mean, the Bears. You know, the Lions have to go play outside. It's recorded that it's that they don't play as well outside as they do at home.
Jared Goff especially.
Thank you. And it's going to be cold. The Bears beat them last year. The Bears play well. For some reason, they match up well against Detroit. You know, I don't know. I mean, I just don't have much confidence in the Bears right now, obviously. You know, but I'd really like to say, hey, this is a game that the Bears could get because of the injuries, but I don't know. I'm kind of mumbling right now because I'm you know what I'm doing. I'm wanting to like be positive about the Bears,
but you can't do it.
But I can't do it this week. It's
Coach,
tough.
Coach, welcome to our world. It sucks.
It's tough right now just because the Lions have everything to play for, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that means so much when you get to this point in the year.
11 straight. They got a chance to go with 11 straight losses finishing out a year.
Yeah, I mean, they. But this time of year, if you got to be relevant, you got to like be in the hunt. If you're in the hunt, it makes all the difference in the world with your locker room and your meetings and your practice tempo, everything. Just, you know, it's so much better, and it's just tough right now. It's just very tough right now. And but, hey, you got to get a plan together and go out and see if you can win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take a strategy from our interviews with Jalen, and I'm not going to ask Coach about the Bears anymore for our time with him. Do you have any more baseball stories?
Well, yeah, I do. You know, you know who Jim Leland is?
Love Jim Leland. He's my favorite manager to see come into town. I always enjoy
talking.
Yeah, like whenever he come into town, I would make sure that I would go be a part of his press conferences over on the South Side because I always found him to be engaging.
Okay, well, Jim Leland was the manager of the Detroit Tigers when I was coaching at the University of Pittsburgh, but he never sold his house in Pittsburgh from when he was with the Pirates. For some reason, he just liked Pittsburgh. He kept his house there. So after 9:30 Mass on Sunday, I would see Jim. He would stand. He would wait outside, and he would have a cigarette, you know, standing outside of church.
Always
a cigarette, exactly. And I would come out, and we would talk baseball, or we would talk football, or whatever. So I come out one Sunday, and we are in. Even though we really weren't a major player, I was out to his house, and we were recruiting him hard. Okay.
Okay.
The big. Off the quarterback, who went to Ohio State, the superstar, God, I'm thinking of so many guys right now. Help me out.
Terrell Pryor,
okay? Terrell Pryor, Pittsburgh guy. And he had committed to play basketball at Pitt as a sophomore and changed his mind. So I had some connections, and he was a little bit upset about some things at Pitt for basketball reasons. So I'm trying to get back into him. So we're going out to the school, and I go, but take me and Matt Cavanaugh was my coordinator. We go out and see him at his house, and we're recruiting him. He's not going to come to Pitt, okay? He probably would have gone to West Virginia if Rich Rod would have stayed there, but now it's down to Penn State and Ohio State. So I come walking. We're in the middle of this thing, though. And I come walking out of church, and Jim Leland's standing there, and he's got a cigarette, and he takes a puff of his cigarette, and he says, "You really think that Pryor kid can throw?" And I said, "What? The guy's just been on Parade magazine. He's the number one player in the country, Jim. What are you talking about? Quarterback." And he takes a drag of his cigarette, and he kind of looks aside and says, "I've been watching this kid, Dave. I don't think he's a passer." And I says, "Come on." He says, "I'm telling you." And he starts to explain to me about throwing, the mechanics of throwing.
Wow.
I leave him and go right to the car and call Matt Kavanaugh, you know, who's got about four or five Super Bowls in the NFL, was an All-American at Pitt with me. We were teammates. And
you asked him to look at the tape?
Guess what, Lawrence? I said, "Matt, meet me at the office." I says, "We got to go look at this." And we're looking at it, and Matt's saying, "Oh, but see, Dave, he can do this, and he can get it out." And, you know, we didn't end up getting him, okay? But the end of the story is he goes to the NFL, and they put him at wide receiver because he's not a big passer, you know? And they ran that spread run offense at Ohio State, and he could get by. So Jim Leland was correct. But that's just another.
That's a tremendous. Lawrence, I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah, how about that?
And Leland, like, baseball throwing mechanically and quarterback throwing. I mean, Tom House has his pitchers throwing footballs all the time.
Is that right?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You used to see Craig Kimbrell throwing a football around the outfield at Wrigley. I'm like, what's that? What's that about?
How about that?
And then I learned that Tom House, that's a big teaching thing.
Yep, Jim Leland. Yep, absolutely.
Lawrence, go ahead. Ask him another one. Do whatever you want.
What do we want to talk about?
I mean, that's great.
Lawrence, can you see my Christmas tie here?
Can
you see?
I can. Okay, I thought it was orange when I was looking on the Zoom, but it is a. Are you going to a Christmas party?
No, it's got little Santa Clauses and Christmas trees. You know. No, I'm just in the spirit. It's that time. Come on, we got to have some good positive stuff here.
Somewhere. Yeah, less than a week.
That's right. That's right. And I won't be on until after Christmas with you guys. So that's the end.
So we got this together.
We got this today.
That's
absolutely.
All, this is the time that we have together. You know, we should culminate it with you making some football picks.
Okay.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wonstead.
Put your mouthpiece in because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
Okay, we're going to start off. I like Baltimore. Baltimore's playing at home. They're giving Pittsburgh 6 points, but I think Baltimore right now is ready. The arrow's pointing up, and boy, last week it was disappointing at the Steelers on all levels. I also like the Dolphins. The Dolphins -1 versus the Niners. This is it. This is their last stand. If the Dolphins don't win this one, you know, even though they got a small chance, they're dead as far as playoffs. Philadelphia, they're looking at that #1 seed and bye. I like Philly, okay, giving Washington 3.5. And lastly, but not least, my Cowboys, but I'm taking the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bucks right now go to Dallas, and Tampa is in the hunt in that division. And Tampa right now, I just think they got a little bit more want-to at this point in the season than Dallas.
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wonstead. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
We're going to give away a $200 gift card to caller 6 to the contest line, 312-540-0670. To Four Winds Casino and Resort in New Buffalo or South Bend, your entertainment escape. Coach, do you have a favorite Christmas gift from when you were a kid, like something that you really wanted and then you got it or you didn't get and you were like, oh man, I really wanted that little red wagon or air rifle or whatever it was?
Sled named Rosebud, maybe?
Well, no sleds. I had sleds. I don't... No, you know what? You mentioned an air rifle. I had a little pellet gun, okay? This may sound like and my dad, and to this day, till he passed away, and my brother to this day were avid hunters. And I never could go hunting because it was always during football or basketball season. So I was never a hunter. But they were avid hunters, okay? And so they got me this, and I got to go with them and shoot my little air gun, you know, at the trees. But, I was so excited. I think more so because I was included in something that I really wanted to be, but never got the invite.
Oh,
Man. Never got the invite.
Something
please.
About those guns when you're a kid. I had a little cap gun.
Yeah.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Well, but, you know, yeah, back then you, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
Coach, have fun tonight. Thanks for being with us and lifting up the mood.
Yeah, well, you guys have a great holiday and Christmas and everything, and we will see you next week, okay?
Coach, you're the best. Right. Merry Christmas to you from the listeners who love you every damn week.
Yeah, okay. Spiggs, you're going to go Christmas caroling this weekend?
I'm thinking about it.
All right, good.
Yeah. You want to come with me?
No. I did enough of that in the past.
Oh, you kill it, though. It's always so good. Next year.
So since Coach is leaving and we are talking about giving stuff away, we enjoy that here on Spiegel and Holmes. One more giveaway for you. We're going to give away, well, I guess more than one, but we're going to give away four packs of tickets to the Frozen Confines for games on the 4th of January, Ohio State versus Wisconsin, Wisconsin versus Michigan State at 8 o'clock. So you are, if you're the caller 6, 7, or 8 to the contest line, 312-540-0670, we got you hooked up with a treat for the Frozen Confines. When we come back, Dustino's at it again. Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Before we hear from our guy Dustino, we want to give you a reminder that we do a really cool event with our partners at Remy Martin. Remy Martin and 670 The Score want to give you a chance to play hoops on the United Center Court. Spiegs, I don't know if you remember this from last year.
I do indeed. You and Danny and a whole bunch of folks had a good time playing
ball.
Yeah,
it was really great. And I hope that people realize, like, this is kind of this is one of those type of things. It's once in a lifetime. So you're going to be able to play on the court. You're going to have dinner in the Bulls banquet room, and then you're going to stay for the game, and that's on February 22nd. If you look for the Remy display at your local retailers, you can scan to enter. If you want more details on it, just go to 670thescore.com/contest. Like, do it. Everyone who went last year had an incredible time, including myself. It was unreal to be able to get dressed in the locker room at the United Center to go out and play on that floor. So go to 670thescore.com/contest. Remy Martin, team up for excellence.
So a couple things have happened today in the world of sports. And we've had a good, fun show. We really have. It's been all over the place. The listener interaction and all the calls and everything on the Sammy Sosa story was really intense and wonderful. And then Barry Rosner came on and pretty much just broke a lot of people's brain with his logical take on what may have spurred this whole thing on. But we like to end with some fun. And what do we have here exactly? Robbie Triano in charge of all things audio these days.
Well, we love a certain person on the show, and his name is Dustin Rhodes, and he hosts the Moline Hall pregame show from 5 to 5:30. I've done that shift. It's really difficult. There's a lot of news happening. And just like the Sammy Sosa news, there was other Cubs news that Dustin wanted to break as well.
Our very own Bruce Levine reporting that the rumor between the Cubs and the Marlins involving pitcher Jesus Luzardo is dead. So that one is over.
Oh, man, that's pretty close. That's pretty close.
Little juxtaposition of the letters. Yeah,
Jesus
Luzardo.
Oh, that's all right. I can't even hate on him too much. I remember being a kid and walking in to go see my dad in his bedroom. And at the end of a night where I'd been out, and I was like, hey, Dad, what's going on? He's like, well, just see. See that Oakland team? They won't stop. Konecny hit another home run.
Konecny!
I've never forgotten that. Anytime I read Jose Canseco's name, like, my dad thought he was Konecny.
Emmanuel Classy.
All right, see? Emmanuel Classy is still my favorite closer in MLB. When he walks out there with the monocle going on, he's got the bow tie, he's with a little cane, he looks like Mr. Peanut.
Good day,
he's
sir.
Mr. Peanut.
Oh, you're telling me that was Mr. Peanut?
It was.
Oh, my God.
Class B.
What's his stuff? What's his stuff like, Mr. Peanut? What does he throw?
Knuckleballs.
Oh, thank you. A lot
for
of
no
that.
Reason.
So you think Rosner's right with the...
Wait. What? I'm not done.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
I just thought of this. Here we go. Hopefully, when you put Mr. Peanut out there, he doesn't get shelled.
Hey!
That deserved a rim shot.
You know what?
That's okay.
You deserve that. Going into a day off with those tough conditions out there in Arizona.
It's rough, Speaks.
Somebody's got to do it.
It's rough. I already got my spot picked out for yoga tomorrow.
Oh, and it's probably still light out there, too, by
the
way.
It is. Yeah. The sun rising and the mountains in the background.
Hell,
it's going to be nice for the next couple days, and then I'm going to come home.
All right, well, me and Mark Grody will you know, work the wheels of steel here.
Yeah, and Grody can work a hot 10. You know, I'm sure he's got a hot 10 for everyone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that man cook. That's what I say.
Yeah, we'll have some fun on a football Friday leading into the Bears and Lions on Sunday. Olin Krutz will join us tomorrow. Dan Wiederer will join us tomorrow. Bruce Miles, who's a tremendous
baseball man.
Right, tremendous baseball dude, longtime Daily Herald Cubs beat writer, and like Rosner, a voter in the Cubs Hall of Fame, will talk to us tomorrow as we further that story a little bit.
I will see everyone on Monday. For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thanks so much for the love and support you show us. Oh, and thanks to the folks here at Odyssey Phoenix for getting us and keeping us on the air. It's much appreciated. Robbie and Alex did an incredible job. So for the love and support that you show us, we will try and repay that tomorrow, 2 o'clock, here on The Score. See y'all.
All right, guys. Have a great life.
Have a good show.
We'll try.
What?